3. Vigil. Despite the intense glare, it is possible to see the drops of blood trickling from the sigilite's tear ducts. Vulcan doesn't want to look. The light radiating from the golden throne and the figure upon it is too bright and too sickly, and it chills him to see the old regent in such extraordinary, silent pain. But he must look. A last vigil. The most important of all. The throne room has been emptied of all but key personnel. The Consilium adepts fuss at their tasks, nursing the wheezing stability engines. The throne itself, radiating light like a miniature sun, sings. It is a high, constant note, a harmonic vibration, a fingertip running around the edge of a glass, but amplified to a level that could crack stone. Vulcan wonders how long Malkador will be able to maintain control. How long can a man last like that? The energies pulsing through the throne would cremate a mortal soul in seconds. Malkador is no ordinary mortal, but he is nothing compared to Vulcan's father, and Vulcan knows how grievously his father suffered in that seat. Malkador sits fixed, rigid, still as the stone effigy on the lid of a tomb, but for the spasmodic twitch of his hands and the tremble of his eyelids. His eyes have rolled back, showing only white. His mouth is slack, as though palsied. His skin, it seems to Vulcan, is beginning to crack, like the dry pages of an ancient book. The sigilite has not spoken since he took the throne. Vulcan didn't expect him to. He knew the focus required for operation was so onerous that there would be nothing spare to give. But Vulcan found himself anticipating something. The sigilite was ever an ingenious man, with power to match his cunning. Vulcan never liked him much, but he has always admired him. The regent had such a breadth of learning and such a hunger for knowledge. Vulcan suspects that one of the reasons, beyond loyalty and necessity, that Malkador took the throne was that it would offer him a chance to see, to truly see, for one lethal but spectacular instant, the greatest knowledge of all. To operate the Golden Throne is to open one's mind entirely to the etheric structures of the universe, and Malkador has an exceptionally potent mind. The regent's only task is to regulate the dangerously hypertensive webway, but in enhancing the sigilite's ability to do that, the throne would also grant him a unique perspective. Mindsight, foresight, farsight, and all other aspects of Psychana would be amplified, providing a metaphysical insight that, Vulcan imagines, borders on omniscience. Thus would be unveiled the invisible underpinnings of fragile real space, the deep and eternal conjunction of materium and immaterium, the ephemeral patterns of the warp, things that Vulcan, in all his journeys and all his years, has never witnessed. Vulcan had been secretly convinced that the sigilite would communicate something, or at least try. If not words, then a sign of some sort. Where Vulcan's father is infamous for withholding and only ever alluded to things the throne had allowed him to see, Malkador would want to share. Sitting there in silent agony, he is surely learning things, more and more, with every passing second, things that could undoubtedly assist the war. What could he be perceiving? The dispositions of the enemy. Radical techniques of defense, esoteric methods of combating the Neverborn, surely all those things, and more. Malkador, who, as Rogel Dorn's silent partner, had orchestrated the fundamental mechanics of the siege and every stage of their obsidional tactics, now has a superlative vantage. He can see all of the everything he could never see before. Vulcan was certain that Malkador would be dying to communicate that, to use his insight to steer them, with utmost expertise, through the final battle. Instead, he just seems to be dying. Forever. Vulcan looks to the side. Abidemi has approached. The salamander's drake sword bows his head.
Any word?
Vulcan asks.
No, my lord of drakes, replies Abidemi. The teleport chamber's report transfer, and Hegemon Control confirms it. Anabasis assault is deployed. But? No contact, Lord. My agents in Hegemon Control report some consternation. Regarding? Nothing official, my lord. But there are concerns that the situation was the trap our Praetorian suspected. Indeed, there is great doubt as to exactly where your brothers and our lord your father have gone. Teleport signal capture? Redirection? Perhaps there is no data. They may be aboard the spirit now, or the spirit itself may have been a bluff.
Vulcan looks back at the figure in the throne.
I think he knows, he says. The Lord Sigilite.
Vulcan nods. His jawline clenches.
I think he knows, and he wants to tell us. I think he's desperate to tell us. Why, my lord? Look at his mouth, Atok. See? The way it twitches now and then. A shiver of the lips. I think he's trying to tell us something, and he simply cannot.
Abedami hesitates.
My lord, he says, you should withdraw to a safer distance. It is too dangerous to be this close to the throne for long.
Vulcan nods and sends the Drake sword back from the heat of the glare. He takes one last look before following.
What are you seeing, Sigilite? Vulcan murmurs. What are you seeing? Everything. Nothing. Or the broken fragments of our demise.